God, you're
special. What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Kinda Funny Podcast, and I can already tell you it's going to be a good one. I'm one of your hosts, Greg Miller, alongside the producer slash seducer, Nick Scarpino.
How's it going, guys? It feels like I haven't talked to you in a while, except it's only been 6 hours.
Oh, it's gonna be a good one today.
Oh my god. Over there, Forbes 30 under 30, aka the second best baby blues in San Francisco, aka the engaged one at Tim Gettys.
There's so much I want to talk about already on this podcast. I mean,
bring it up.
First off, let's introduce Andy.
And rounding out the quartet is always Hispanic heartthrob, Texas treat, Latino heat, clicking heads and ripping them to shreds, the globe trotting headshot and nitro rifle from twitch.tv, Andy Cortez.
Bring it the fuck up.
Andy, I just want to bring up your stellar reviews of The Dark Knight and what a great job you did on interview this week.
I want to dive deep
into
that, but I want to talk about Kev real quick before we get too far away from everything that just happened right as we entered the show. Working backwards, he did the countdown. He's giving us shit in the typical Kevin way of like, y'all fucks ready for this, let's go.
Okay, so if we're ready to rock and roll 15 times. You guys ready to rock and roll? Yep, 15 minutes later, you guys ready to rock and roll? Still ready to rock and roll.
Things changed the first time. Greg wasn't ready, remember? He was like,
I'll tell you what, ladies and gentlemen, there's nothing more annoying than when you have a deadline and you're like two trophies away from a platinum and you know you could do it if you had 10 more minutes.
I'll give you 10 more minutes.
Okay, fine. Just going back to that. Greg's doing something in the background that we can't talk about. And then he was like, okay, we have to turn it off. And Kevin, what does Kevin say, Andy?
He says, all right, put your video gaming away.
Great.
Put your gaming away. Come on, everybody. Like, grandma's got dinner on the table. Put your gaming away.
All right. We can. Let's get into this. Let's go. Are you guys ready? Yeah, we're ready. Cool. Four, three, two, one.
I don't know.
Fucking psychopath starts at four. Doubles down and says four again.
He was like this close. He was this close to trying to convince us that four is like how the Europeans do it. You know what I mean? He was like, oh. Yeah. Well, that's how they do it in France.
That's how they do it. When Paul and I went to Rome, that's how they counted in.
You guys, don't know why I started at four. I legitimately just felt like you guys needed an extra second. And then I panicked because it was like, you don't start at four. What the fuck's going on with you? And then I was like, well, I can't now start at three because it just seems I'm continuing. And then there's a long break that wasn't a second. And you guys are going to be like, that's not how seconds work. So I was like, I guess I have to commit to starting at four again.
The thing is this, Kevin, and Kevin, here's the thing. I know I was just previously to this making fun of you, but now I'm on your side because I know the feeling of when you screw something up in front of Greg, Tim, and Andy, and it's just a matter of time before the fucking hyenas pounce.
Not when you trip up in front of Nick.
Yeah.
Everything I do is defense. That's a defense mechanism against you guys. The best defense is an offense, right? Andy, football.
No, you're not on my side now. Don't try to switch sides again.
Andy, he loves football just like you.
Andy, I love the Niners,
bro.
This monster Niners, bro, just like you.
Dude, I just wanted to be said that, like, not only are we not the hyenas, in the situation we're about to talk about, Nick, you are both the prey and the hyena. Mm-hmm. Like, you are the only one tearing yourself apart. We're all just kind of like, it was Nick. It's fine. I get it. We all had a good time. You're the one that is like, man, I really fucked up that Dark Knight review, didn't I?
It's always because there's always one or two people that just find me. Well, go ahead, Greg. What?
Here's the thing. If,
go ahead, Greg.
You know that if Nick brings it up, that means it's bad. That means it is getting a bad reception. If somehow Nick, who checks Twitter once every 3 days and Instagram once a week, finds out that someone in the YouTube comments is like, woof, this is not a whoa. He didn't get all of this one. That's now,
here's the thing. I generally don't, you're right. I don't check Twitter. I don't check Instagram, but I do check the comments a lot, especially on stuff that I'm on because I like to get in there and like put the little hearts and like respond to people with witticisms. But yeah, the first comment was like, hey, great review. Second comment was Nick, and I quote, this is one of my favorite movies of all time. Also, Nick, I hate this movie or whatever, like whatever it was.
I'm gonna nitpick it to death.
And that's, you know,
Nick picking.
Nick picking. And it's one of those things where, like, I obviously we're joking around with it, and I hope we did a good job on that review, and I hope everyone enjoyed it. But for the few people that thought I was being overcritical of it, stuff your fucking sorries in a sock.
Yeah, exactly. Shout out to John Fernandez. John Fernandez is the one who tweeted, "Nick, I love this movie. Also, Nick, nothing makes sense and it's stupid."
To be fair, if I may defend myself for a second, I did preface all of my criticisms of that movie by saying this movie is great despite the many instances of small stupidity that step out. I should say stupidity. Now I'm getting defensive. I apologize.
Yeah, he's
great. I'm gonna apologize to you. I apologize to John Cameroni or whatever his name was on Twitter. What was this?
John Fernandez in the YouTube comments.
John Fernandez in the YouTube comments. I did try to preface the whole thing with saying, I love this movie, but there are some things that stand out. And the movie is great in spite of those things. But, you know, maybe I didn't cram that home. But I also just don't want to come off like, I feel bad because I don't want to feel like I'm dragging you guys down if I'm being negative. I wasn't trying to be negative yesterday. I was just trying to point out some of the silliness.
You weren't negative yesterday. We were just having fun talking about a movie. And it's just everybody wanted to be part of the conversation. Just like Matt Ford, who wrote Nick, Batman Begins. Scarecrow is not a top tier villain. The Dark Knight. Scarecrow is a top tier villain.
That I do remember saying. And I do. As that came out of my mouth yesterday, I was like, oh.
Double down.
What did you put out? It was for the Wahlberg follow-up. It was, we're sorry about last week's podcast. Yeah. This one needs to just be Nick sorry about in review.
Oh, my God. I love it, man.
I will never forget because, you know, when Nick is talking to us about this review, he's like, man, I hope I didn't come off too bad. And it's like, nah, you're totally fine. But and then Tim responded with, it's no Fast Five review. Which is one of those like episodes that I think is iconic and kind of funny history, where
not for the right reasons though.
Well, yeah, not, I mean, you know, because it gets to the point, and Nick, I understand because I feel the way you feel sometimes, where you make a point, and if everybody shits on you, you quadruple, quintuple down on that point, even though it's not that important. But it's like, fuck you guys for coming after me.
Yeah,
and I've done that before. I totally understand that attitude, and I will never forget. Like the next day, I think you kind of like, we were still in the studio and you walk up to my, or maybe I walked into your office and you go, man, I was kind of a bitch on that episode, huh?
Well, because you know, because it's one of those things where like, you don't have, when you're in the flow and you're doing it and you're being critical, you don't have that, you know, at the end of the day, sometimes you're tired. I'm just making excuses for myself now. But you don't have the wherewithal. You don't have the way, you can't see yourself. Right. And so afterward, when a bunch of comments are like, hey man, you do realize that you're applying logic and criticism to this, like a movie like Fast and Furious, like you probably should hold for a movie that's, and this is no disrespect to the Fast and Furious franchise, but a movie that's a lot higher caliber, right?
Yeah, I'm sorry, Tim Geddes from kindoffunny.com. You want to chime in here on what I'm calling the Nick whooping?
I was just really interested to see like what the comments were on the Fast Five.
Oh, don't review. Do this to me. I don't need this today.
I just love that. So on a video that has 471,000 views.
My life.
Oh my God. Are you serious?
This is one of our most popular videos of all time.
And I wonder why our subscribers don't go up. This is my thing. I wonder why I'm like, oh God, why haven't we broken 300 yet? And it's because every big piece of content I'm like JoJo the Idiot Circus Boy. It's pretty. And then I just have to smash it.
I mean, Nick, the reviews are in. The top comments include, man, my biggest problem with this review is Nick not figuring out what his biggest problem is. Eric Fowler coming in. Nick should have said, this is my biggest problem with the movie 10 times, and I'm not even halfway through. He has to be doing this on purpose. And my favorite one comes from Jill Punisher Ill. Alternate video title, Big Problem in Little Movie, starring Nick Scarpino.
Oh, Nick, we love you. Don't worry about it.
Honestly one of those where I'm like, God, I wish we could just go. We should just go back and redo the Fast Five review.
It's our content talking about movies. That's how it is. And I know what you're saying, though, because you get broken into the spectrum. I feel like that happens all the time to me, where I'm like more negative than somebody, but then somebody's super positive, so it brings out more of my negativity for some reason as I try to tell them why I didn't enjoy it, which then makes it seem like I hated it when I didn't even really hate the thing.
And that's kind of where I was with
Dark Knight Rises.
Well, like, I love Dark Knight. I love that movie. Again, I'm not kidding when I say it's probably one of the top 10 of my favorite movies of all time. But I do also don't, you know, I try to have a little bit of criticism of every movie because no movie's perfect. Like, and also
Ghostbusters,
I feel like, oh, Ghostbusters. Yeah. I mean, there's obviously Ghostbusters too. What happened with there? But there's also, you know, it's just one of those things where you got, I try to have a little criticism just to have a counterbalance because I can't, you know, it's not fun for me to listen to stuff that's 100% positive. And obviously everyone's going to love Dark Knight. But with Fast and Furious 5, I was like, oh, I'll have a couple nitpicky things here. I was trying to argue that 4 was better because at the time I was like, this makes me feel like I liked 4 better. It just had a more of an emotional punch for me. I thought it was a better movie. Still do, because it is. But when you got, like, when 4 people start disagreeing,
not taking the bait, not taking
it. Ah, damn it. When that's 4 bait. People start jumping on top of you, yeah, you do get, I got a little too defensive on that. And that's the thing, too, is sometimes I lose perspective on the fact that we are a show and not a, we're not vying for the soul of America, trying to remember, like, I'm not trying to teach people what good cinema is. Sometimes we're just talking about a fucking Vin Diesel movie. Which, well, by the way,
it just takes one person to make a comment. Like, doesn't need to be a million of them, and you get so defensive so fast. Like, one of the comments that I saw a lot yesterday was Tim fucked up early on. Like, the whatever movie I said won, the No Country for Old Men didn't win the Oscar that year. It was Slumdog Millionaire.
Oh, good movie.
And at the 2009 Oscars, and I was like, but the movie came out in 2008. Yeah, like, wrong, what the right? fuck? And I got really mad about it.
The one you really fucked up was the Brando thing. You see this? Everybody was freaking out about that too. Andy, real quick, as we can take a timeout. Andy, look in the camera. Look at me. How great is it never to fuck up? Huh? How good is That's it? We're great. Just so good at our jobs, it's man. Great. You know what
Wait,
I mean?
It's great.
You
know, Tim, no. There was a comment that kind of like pointed out one of my false things where I thought that the black dude was Laz, but it was Michael J. White. And then some guy said, Andy thinks we all look the same. And I was like, I wanted to reply, come on, bro. And you know what I got to mix up? Because Laz is in Fast and Furious.
He is in Fast and Furious. That's true.
That's the one that I got mixed up.
And unfortunately, he's in the superior Fast and Furious, which is Fast and Furious 4.
Lord. See, that's the thing. If we redo the episode, you would double down, Nick.
Oh, God, I know, Kevin. I totally would. Because I like to think that you can dig your way through the problem. You can dig your way out of the hole by going through it. And you just
panic. You panic and burrowing down is all you know.
Yeah, it's true. It's a weird Italian self-defense mechanism. I think it stems from, I think my uncle was a deserter and had to hide during World War II.
It's true.
Sorry, not my uncle, my grandfather. And I think that's just in my DNA. My uncle would get a little too young for World War II.
Even you start leaning into this joke that you're old.
I love it. I love it so much. No, but you're right, Greg. But real quick, the Oscar thing, I got so defensive seeing this comment where I was like, I'm going to fucking rip this guy into it. I'm just going to respond, like, ruin his day, be like, you fucking idiot. No. And then I like thought about it for a second. I looked at him like, oh, wait, of course. A movie coming out in June is going to be
eligibility.
Just with how it all works, it would be in the Oscars in February the next year. Mm-hmm. So I was like, I'm an idiot. I was totally fucking wrong. So just a second of clarification goes a long way. And when it comes to the Marlon Brando thing, that was just a slip of my words, where what I meant to say was comic book character. That no comic book character has ever won Best Actor, and now it has twice for the same character.
Gotcha. That makes sense. That makes sense. Yeah. That's an easy thing to extrapolate on, though.
You've got to apologize to the Brando estate, though, because they're the ones who wrote in.
I heard.
De Niro tweeted me too. He was pissed about it because obviously it was him. You know, the Corleone thing.
How did he look when he did it?
Oh, Robert De Niro.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
That.
Thank
you. How did Laurel's father look when
Dinah Lance is dead? He looked like this.
Yeah,
very different. So very close, different. They're close.
Oh. You know, Greg, you always. I appreciate that little one detail. Is that when you do your De Niro, you always got to move your tongue and your lips as if you're like eating sunflower seeds. Like,
yeah.
Like that's you kind of got a little like a little seed.
Bobby De Niro, let's talk about a career. When are we doing De Niro in review? You kidding me right now?
We'd have to do Scorsese in review. I think that would be the better ones.
Irishman again.
No.
Terrible movie that was. That was four hours of just nothing.
Remember when he's calling Robert De Niro kid, but he still walks like an 80-year-old man? Just cast a younger person, Martin. Come on, Martin. Technology doesn't mean we have to use it.
They wanted to. They wanted one more day in the sun with all those older actors before most of them start dropping off like flies. For Christ's sake, we just lost Sean Connery. Who's next? Sean Connery's brother.
I heard he was a deserter in World War II. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the Kind of Funny podcast. Each and every week, four best friends gather on these microphones, each bringing whatever it is they want to talk about to the table. If you like that, you can head over to patreon.com/kindoffunny to be part of the show. Of course, you can give us your topics for the show. You can be a Patreon producer. You can watch the show as we record it live, just like Robbie Robb is. Congratulations on getting married this past weekend. Mike L is. Torbenak is. Gustavo is. Remember, you can also then go to patreon.com/kindoffunny to get the show ad-free and with the post show we do each and every episode. However, if you have no bucks tossed our way, it's no big deal. You can head over to youtube.com/kindoffunny and podcast services around the globe each and every week, so that you can get a brand spanking new episode. Some housekeeping for you. Extra Life is happening this Saturday, ladies and gentlemen, November 7th, 10 a.m. Pacific to 10 p.m. Pacific. We are doing our annual fundraising stream for Extra Life to benefit the big, beautiful kids at the Children's Miracle Network. We, of course, are playing for UCSF Benioff. It starts officially for us on Saturday, but the community streams on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames start Friday at 1 p.m. Pacific. We will be hosting all the Kind of Funny best friends as they play games for Team Kind of Funny. It is not too late for you to join Team Kind of Funny. You can go to kindoffunny.com/extra life, join our team, play video games, and raise money for a great organization. Or if you want, kindoffunny.com/extra life, and you can just donate to our team. Of course, we're trying to raise $100,000. Again, our highest ever was last year. We are well on our way. But Saturday is the big day. Come watch us play video games and hang out together. Thank you to our Patreon producers. It's November, by the way. So we got a whole new list here, everybody. Jared Ooh. Dessert. Yum, yum. That's what I'm saying. We had to give them all deserter. A you know, because here's the thing, Patreon producers. Obviously, you've noticed the guy who gave his phone number, Bert Meg. We give you different names. Sometimes we give you nicknames. I appreciate if you come in with your own name. Now, Jared Dessert didn't give us anything. So now it's just Jared Dessert, yum, yum for the rest of the way.
Yum, yummy. Yeah.
If you remember, last month we had Odd Billy join the group. And I always thought it was funny because it was spelled weird. Odd Billy has iterated on his own name, which I appreciate. So, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Patreon producers, Old Dirty Billy, a.k.a. Odd Billy. Followed by Julian, like the gluten-free gamer, like DJ Kento,
ODB, yeah.
Steve, we have the powers, Kieran O'Donnell. Today we're brought to you by Upstart and Guideline, but I'll tell you about that later. For now, Nick, did you raise? Oh no, a whole bunch of hands. Yeah,
I did raise my hand. I don't like Odd Billy's moniker.
You don't like Old Dirty Billy?
No, I want to call him Oddly Billy.
I mean, He put Old Dirty Billy.
When you pay us your good hard-earned dollars to sponsor our show and we read your names, it's not up to you how we read
we
your
choose
names.
To embarrass you.
We choose to embarrass you. We choose your stupid nicknames. And you should know this by now. And this is also probably one of those reasons why we don't have a ton of Patreon supporters this year.
In retrospect, you know,
learning a lot about this episode.
As long as you can see, you know, you're through the looking glass, you can understand what's going on. Tim Geddes, you raised your hand. What's going on with you?
I did. And I just wanted to, we were talking about mistakes that we've made. We were talking about doing things on doing things for content, and it kind of backfiring on you. I had one of those moments this weekend, and I need to live with the repercussions of this. I wanted to give it some time. I wanted to wait till we got on the Kind of Funny podcast.
Let it marinate.
You wanted to wait for it to fade
to have this discussion because I knew I was going to be on a couple shows beforehand, and I wanted to see if anybody would notice. For Halloween, I went as Johnny Lawrence from Cobra Kai, from The Karate Kid. And Kevin, can you do me a favor and Google image search Johnny Lawrence? He has bleach blonde hair.
He is blonde as can be.
And I was like, how funny would it be? I'm not going to do the go bald with Vin Diesel thing because that's too much. But what if I dyed my hair blonde? Mm-hmm. Go into the lean into the jokes, prove once and for all that I am not blonde, because when you see me like this, you'll be like, now that is Tim blonde, right? Gia said she can do it. I trusted her implicitly. And it didn't work out. So right now, instead of looking like that man, I look like this, which is what I am right now, Kevin. If you
that's how you always
full
look,
screen
blonde.
Me. I don't know if that's possible.
It's kind of a strawberry blonde, which is nice.
So this is full on blonde dye in my hair right now.
But you didn't bleach your hair first.
No, and that's why I will never listen to Gia again.
Wow,
I trusted her implicitly.
Yeah,
And now,
I mean, it looks exactly the same.
Looks,
what do you mean?
It looks the same. Yeah, it's grabbing the same amount of light.
It was blonde before. It now it's blonde.
For a second, I thought you were Andy's chair.
Terrible. Terrible.
But like, what bothers me so much about this is that you won this round. Like, this is yours. Yeah. You can laugh and you make all the funds. But the worst thing for me and for my ego is I did in review yesterday, and sure, there's comments about Marlon Brando. There's comments about Nick Scarpino. There's not a single comment about how blonde I am.
No, it's exactly
not
the same.
A single one. It's just like, oh, that's Tim. Now, I saw in the chat today on Games Daily, two people questioned how blonde I was, including one person that was like, man, I never understood the Tim is blonde joke, but now I really see it. And I was like, okay, it's a little validation for me. But now I just need to fucking live with this, and it is what it is. So thank you, guys.
I think the thing that's kind of more shocking is the level of coverage that Gia made sure to, like, let me just say this, Nick. There are some obvious spots of just dark brown strips in the back where the highlighting
all the way.
The highlighting did not really cover, unfortunately.
It looks a little.
At what point did you know it was going wrong? I guess is the real question.
I mean, it's just not the right color, right? I mean, look at what his goal was.
No, I know. He should have bleached his hair, but he's a big old wuss. That's his problem. He didn't do it.
He's a coward. Like, I don't think you can unbleach the problem.
Yeah,
no, he's got. Well, I'm surprised that this stuff you. So this is stuff you dyed, or was it spraying?
This is dye. The original plan was like, oh, I'm just going to spray it. It'll be funny, whatever. I couldn't find the spray, and I looked everywhere. I went to multiple Walgreens, multiple Targets, and couldn't find it. Tried getting it online. Amazon wouldn't be able to ship it in the time that I needed.
Sure.
So I was like, fuck it, I'll just dye it. It'll be funny, and I'll just write it out. Like, I'm not any important content. It's not like I'm reviewing a PlayStation 5, because I guess I don't fucking matter anymore. So
enjoy
like,
your
fuck
Xbox,
it,
right?
You know? And so here I am. Here I am. Slightly blonder than before.
Yeah, it looks like you. I told Tim, it looks like you went to the beach for like a week. Like, you went to Cancun.
Sure, sure.
Just to kind of get away from it all, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Looks kind of
like some Corona.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. But Kev, could you bring up my Instagram picture? Because I look dope as fuck.
It's amazing.
But what were you going to say?
Yeah, give me a second.
Oh, I was going to say. Go ahead, Andy.
I was going to say it's either highlights or lightning gel, which is the first thing that I thought it was.
Mm-hmm.
Where we all used to do the lightning gel in elementary school, and it would kind of turn your hair orange instead of highlights.
Mm-hmm.
This is what it kind of reminds me of.
So yeah, this picture here, it was me with the blonde hair dye, and Gia straightened it, which there were moments that my hair looked like Andy's. And I was like, that's pretty cool to know that can happen. I never knew that my curly ass fro could do that.
You got science.
If I didn't know because I saw you earlier that day, I would have thought maybe you were the guy from Final Fight.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Cool too.
Sure.
Exactly like that. Is it Final Fight? Is it Streets of Fury?
Streets of Rage. Yeah, Streets of Rage. Sorry.
Same thing. Final Fight and
Really? Oh, okay, gotcha. Because especially in the new one, Nick, I don't know if you've seen the new worst Streets of Rage Part 4.
No, I didn't know there was anyone.
They came out with it earlier this year, I believe. A lot of people love it, by the way. But the dude, the main guy that you're talking about, has a beard now, and it's a straight up just blonde beard.
It's just Tim.
But that's so true with Tim's jacket. Yeah, I mean, this is probably the coolest you've ever looked, Tim.
I'm gonna give you kudos though, Tim, because I, as a person who is old and losing his hair, would be terrified to bleach my hair or dye my hair at all for fear that it would all just fall out and never come back.
Well, so that's my thing. As I was like, worst case scenario, I go as Vin Diesel. If it all falls out, then it's fine.
Oh yeah,
content, everybody, content. But my other problem is, so I dyed it, and as soon as I got out of the shower, I looked in the mirror. I'm like, this is not blonde enough. Like, this is not worth it. Fuck it. I was like, fuck it. I'll just do it again. And G and Joey are like, you can't just do it again. Like, you need to like wait a pretty long time. It's not good for your hair. I was like, I don't know. Like, it feels like just add more. Like, why? It's like you could add more paint, right? Wait till it dries.
Yeah.
You're all good. So I start Googling it, and I just Google, can you dye your hair twice in one night? And an article comes up, and it's like, if it's temporary dye, sure. It's not great, but you could do it. If it says permanent dye on the box, under no circumstance should you do this. And I'm like, I look at it. It's permanent. So I'm like, okay, I can't.
Yeah.
I'm like, but I don't trust this one article. I'm going to do some more digging.
Fair.
Start looking into some other stuff. I found no less than 5 articles where the first response was, hey, I thought I could be okay doing this. It was the worst decision I ever made.
Yeah.
I did it. It was totally fine. Next morning, woke up, half my hair missing. Not like a convenient half, just clumps everywhere falling out. And I'm like, this sucks. This really sucks.
I remember. You went through five though, because I do that all the time too, where I have the evidence to say that I'm wrong, but I want to be right. So I continue to look through other articles to find somebody.
Oh my God. Oh, Greg, it's like, it's athletes when they think that they're done with their career and they are looking for fifth and sixth and seventh and eighth opinions from doctors when the majority of them are like, you're done. You cannot come back from this.
Again, you will die.
It was like, it's Peyton Manning where his neck was basically fused and glued together. And every doctor was like, you can't, you shouldn't come back. And he's just needed like, that one person. He needed the one person to be like, you may not die.
I was reading, Tim, I was reading a trivia when I was watching The Fifth Element, and they apparently had to switch, what's her name, from Resident Evil. Why am I blanking on
Mila Jovovich.
Mila Jovovich. They started off by dyeing her hair orange. And after I think the third or fourth week, her hair started like cracking and falling apart. And so they had to put a wig on her. So like you can see certain scenes in that where you're like, oh, that's straight up a wig, or in certain scenes where like, oh, it looks really awesome. But evidently they just, even the temporary stuff starts fucking your hair up after a while.
Yeah, man, it's crazy.
When I did my hair for the first time, because you remember I had blue hair in college and wanted it, you know, it was graduated my high school, was ready to live my life. We went on that trip to Florida, a bunch of idiots in a motorhome, 18-year-old morons, and I wanted to get my hair dyed blue while I was down there. Couldn't figure that out. So when we came back, that was the top of my list on what to do. We went to the Sally Beauty, and we had that moment where there's the Manic Panic Blue I want. There's a dye kit. And then there was one that was, it's a dye kit and it'll turn your hair blue in one package, just one application. And of course, we're a bunch of moron 18-year-olds who have never done this. We're like, let's do that one. So I will never forget the, this is bad, as I pulled it off and my hair was blonde and green.
Yep, the habit occurring too.
And it had a bunch of different green dots in it and stuff. I was like, this sucks. And then I had to go to a job interview for a summer job that day. And I went there with this weird green and blue hair, green and blonde hair. And then my mom came home and was like, you fucking morons. And then dyed my hair blue.
Yeah. And what sucks about this too for me is like, I used to dye my hair. Like I've done this before. Like I should have known. But for some reason, I left my hands in my heart and head in the hands of others. And like, that's the weirdest thing where I'm just like,
I should have done frosted tips and shit like that.
Cause that's my, but the whole reason, the real reason for me of doing this, I was like, fuck it. I don't care that it's not a spray. I'm going to dye it. Is I was like, then on content, eventually soon, I'll be able to just cut my sides off, cut a little bit, and I'll have fucking frosted tips.
Frosted again. Tips. Dope.
And I'm like, let's go. That's going to be awesome for the rest of this for 2020. Nothing nice has happened in 2020. Let me have blonde tips. Okay. But no, I get this weird redheaded, like half stuff. It's a disaster, man.
Well, you know what though? Oddly enough, just because your hair is just so fucking thick and beautiful anyway, it just looks, it is a cool color that it ended up being, where it is kind of like a strawberry dirty or blonde. Like, I'm gonna say dirty blonde. You're a dirty blonde now.
Thank you. I appreciate that. And now all my Google Home stuff thinks I'm cool, Greg.
That's awesome. That's the coolest thing ever.
It's so crazy that technology, the way that works. Cause it, when I was in your house, it said Kevin's here. Mm-hmm. And it even recognized me. And I had a mask on.
It's also entirely possible.
I looked at Andy and said Kevin was there.
Oh, no, 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 no. Kevin rang the doorbell.
Gotcha. Does it announce it? Is it like Kevin Coelho here?
Yeah. Actually, yet? For the last couple of days, there was the Halloween doorbell. So it like makes a bunch of spooky shit. And like Kevin also was the one that installed that in my house.
I didn't install. I was just like, hey, man, add the theme. It's really cool. You don't like it?
I mean, it's really weird and distracting when no one else knows about it. Tim's a Grinch.
He doesn't like anything
it.
Holiday related. He's
such a Grinch.
So it starts getting like, it's just like the house turns into a cacophony of just like Halloween sounds. And then it just says, Kevin is here. It's like, awesome. Cool.
It was very loud. Like, it is so surround sound in the most Tim Gettys way. I could not believe where all the sounds were coming from. And then poor Moose is just so scared. Moose.
He loves it, dude. No, when the doorbell rings, it's his time to freaking party, man.
Does he flip out? Does he bark and run around?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he goes nuts. Because he always thinks it's cool, Greg. Anytime someone's coming up the stairs, he thinks it's cool, Greg. And he loves cool, Greg.
Like, I was going to say, they're cool best friends, right?
They're just the bestest of friends. And I just love it. Because Kuga gets down on his level. And like they just like play together. And it's just, it's the best.
It's like when a politician like goes to get beers with people. Like, I'm just here to like be one of you all, you know? I can imagine Cool Greg really, really kind of relating to Moose and his ways. I was going to mention that First off, it's the election today, and it's very, very scary. Very important, and yeah. I'm trying to keep my mind off of stuff.
Time warp. I thought about that as the show began, and I was still wearing my Biden Harris sweater. I'm like, huh, yeah, this goes up after theoretically. You know how it ends.
Yeah. So you all know the result.
Nick, I'll get a lot of shit.
That's a good point. Good point.
Do you think, is there a possibility that the meteor just ends at all?
I think that is less likely. Remember, than
it's
many
too
other
small.
Outcomes.
It's gonna like break up before it destroys us.
That's why it is weird.
I brought this up last night to Joey, where I was like, "Oh shit! I just realized we're recording the podcast before the election." And I'm like, "Is that like a wise call? Should we like hold this off and stuff?" And like we kind of talked it through for a bit. Like obviously, this is a different election than we've ever seen before, so the chances of having any date in the next couple of days that we can firmly be like, all right, we can talk about this is unlikely. Mm-hmm. But on top of that, just do we want to do that right now? No. It's like, have this one last moment.
I think also either way, people are going to need us. I think if either way goes, I think our people that listen to this podcast are going to need you guys talking shit about me, about my Dark Knight opinions. And so if that ends up being the headline of this, I think people will be very grateful for that. I'm not even kidding. I think that people.
I mean, yeah, your opinion was headline wise bad.
Nick apologized for a Dark Knight review, comma, democracy ends.
Yeah. We'll fucking see.
I thought about it too. Yeah, obviously, up to see. But that's the thing is like, yeah, it's not worth, obviously, even this. This is a fun momentary time capsule of just like, oh, yeah, that's happening. And nobody knows what that's going to be because I've talked to so many different people about it that I see it going. I can see every permutation. I can see it being totally normal and everything's done tomorrow morning and it was all overblown. I can see it being anarchy in the streets tomorrow.
Well, I mean, I think this is going to be dragged out for a while. I think that from all the stuff that's happened with all the, with Trump trying to get a lot of the votes thrown out and things like that. Most of the mainstream media saying, hey, this will not be, we will not have an official candidate, like person elected on election day. I think this is going to be another week of just turmoil and chaos.
Him hanging out with Lil Pimp.
Lil Pimp.
Ridiculous. but yeah, I don't know. I don't know. It's gonna be issue.
Next week's podcast can be about the fallout and where we're at.
Hopefully
if Andy, tell me about your favorite fart.
Ooh, I mean, I'm thinking sleepovers where you just like surprise your friends with one. Mm-hmm. And it's either the ones that are that I could imitate with my mouth doing noises with. So it's always like the ones that I love are the deep guttural, like the ones that are just like, they got force behind them. You know what I mean? Cause the normal like ones are like kind of whatever I feel like we're done with those. That era of fart, it's so overplayed. It's so like, all right, dude,
Bro, those are classics. Fart. What are you talking about?
I don't know. To me, the ones that I prefer are the real deep ones when you're sitting on a leather chair and it's just like if a light object, if you were in space, you might be projected up a little bit.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Like it might push you forward.
Yeah. Because of the sheer like it's just like a strong like Willy Wonka. Thing. A what?
Willy Wonka.
Yeah, like the fans where they're it's the reverse of that though, because they were like burping and that was letting you're burping out of their lungs.
Mm-hmm. They like, started to go. They moved.
Yeah.
It's a butt burp. Oh, did they really? Wow. I feel it's like I should have known
that one? You remember that one? When they went to the Pawtucket Brewery.
That's
Peter,
right.
This one you can blame on the dog.
That's right. That's right. Oh, I feel like me and Greg are always simpatico on the Family Guy references. And
I watched the same seasons. When's the last time you watched Family Guy, Andy?
Oh my God. I mean, probably 2014, 2015.
Yeah. I was 20 years ago.
When I was watching all like it was kind of like
sadly would be accurate, but yeah, okay.
I would treat Family Guy then the way I treat The Office now, where it's just something I throw on to just kind of have on in the background.
Mm.
And I'm so familiar with all those sort of early seasons, I just don't know anything about it now. And I'm sure it got less funny. And I think Family Guy is like an easy target to shit on, and like people kind of like, oh, Family Guy sucks. I think it's like a really easy thing, but some of those early episodes are still so goddamn good.
Genius.
I think it's more easy to shit on The Simpsons. I can't believe The Simpsons are still going. You know what I mean? Like, that is ridiculous. I remember when in high school, when we were driving up and it was like, I listened to the morning radio, and they were like, oh yeah, and the Simpsons, because they've been on the fence if they're going to come back. They're like, Fox finally caved and paid them however much, and they're going to do another 2 years, and it'll be 10 seasons. And I remember being like, oh my god, what a long running thing. Now it's been what, 30?
Yeah. Jeez, Dan Castellano was like a billionaire. He's just like,
yeah, they all are.
I'll say this about the Simpsons though: the Simpsons sort of has cultural resonance to where it's one of those things that you can kind of use memes of, and it's considered cool. Sure. It's considered like trendy to use Simpsons memes. Yeah. And I think if you were to do the Family Guy, people would be like, ah, you like Family Guy?
I think it's the opposite way.
No, it's in a similar way to like when I see Lucy James always using Simpsons references, to me, I'm like, she's not the only one that I see using them, granted, but I see a lot of people using Simpsons references. And I think because it is kind of this, it's known that the Simpsons are cool and smart and clever with their writing, where Family Guy's just,
kind of a fart joke and a non-sequitur.
A fart joke. Here's a gay joke. Here's a whatever joke. Like, mm-hmm. Yeah, I think Simpsons is a little bit more clever, and people give it more credit for that. Similar to like how people use SpongeBob memes, and how that's kind of like the go-to meme to use.
Yeah.
I feel like you get a Simpsons shirt at Target, and you'd get a Family Guy shirt at Hot Topic.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah.
Sure. That's fair. That's fair. Mm-hmm. And actually, when I remember when the Simpsons moved from Tracy Ullman to having their own show, and I remember the first Simpsons shirts where you had to win them off Fox 32 by watching and sending in a post. Like, that's how like fucking long that thing's been around, and how ridiculous it is now that it is an institution. But it's one of those weird ones where I get it's not weird, I guess, but I don't know anyone who watches The Simpsons.
I find that strange
that like for me and Poe, that was like every Sunday we watched The Simpsons, and I remember. Even long after I stopped watching, he kept watching. He doesn't anymore. But like, who's watching The Simpsons right now? And I'm not saying this isn't what losers watching The Simpsons. I'm saying I just don't know.
It'd be interesting to see what that demographic is, right? Because I think it's probably younger people like we were when we were first into The Simpsons. Because that show's been on.
I don't think so. Right? I think it's old people.
You think it's people like 40 that remember
in the Midwest? Who like? And I know I just talked about Poe not doing it, but I think it would still be there.
It's crazy to think about that. The Simpsons movie came out 13 years ago.
Jesus Christ.
Great movie, by the way. The like Simpsons movie gave a spider pig, and that was great.
I mean, that's the thing. Like, I still think of The Simpsons as a newer thing because I didn't really watch The Simpsons, but when the movie came out, I watched it, and I thought it was really good. But the movie came out in, like, 06, 07, something like that. It's crazy. 07,
yeah.
That's ridiculous, dude. To me, it's 4 years ago is when it came out. Four or five years ago, right?
Yeah. I tried watching it yesterday on any review, and I was like, "That's so 2000. That's not very 2000 of you, Kevin." Not very 20 years of you. Jeez.
Things have changed in the last two decades.
Holy shit, Nick! I'm sorry. What were you saying?
I was gonna say I tried watching Rick and Morty the other day to talk about animated shows that people seem to love, and I couldn't get 5 minutes into the pilot. And I was just like, I do not like this. I'm gonna give it another shot because it's a pilot, and I always give things.
Yeah, that's always
things don't usually pick up until the second or third episode anyway.
The second episode was much better.
Okay.
A couple years ago now, we went to Palm Springs with friends, and they put Rick and Morty on, and it was just randomly, and like I was so into it that they started just jumping around because it really is a bunch. Like, there's obviously things that'll be referenced, but you can get around with it, and I thought it was fucking hilarious. But it's in the same way like how Barrett tried to make me watch, or didn't try. Barrett heavily recommended My Hero Academia, and I watched it with him and thought it was funny, but then on my own time, I don't watch Rick and Morty and I don't watch My Hero Academia. I enjoyed what I saw, man, but I'm like, just not my thing. I don't sit down, want to watch something often.
My Hero Academia was not even supposed to be funny, though.
Yeah, that's the favorite thing this was just said.
Different reasons. It wasn't. Greg, you love Rick and Morty. It's a laugh riot. Why not try My Hero Academia? Whatever you say. Two animated comedies for you.
No.
As funny as the other one. It's weird.
It's comedy. Guys, do you think people will be camping out for the new consoles?
Yes.
Yeah.
Is that that's like tradition with COVID?
I think they'll just be spaced 6 feet away and be in 15 parking lots. They'll just be like so far spaced that they'll go into the Target parking lot from the Best Buy.
from the town down.
I remember when that last console came out, people were really trying to get, what was it? I guess it was Wii's, right? That was like the hardest one to get back in the day.
I mean, all of them, honestly.
Have they always been hard? Yeah. I just remember
the Wii had its place in time. That was a nightmare trying to keep those in stock and talking to the same people. And you'd always do the thing, like, I was always like that, the kind of asshole Best Buy employee when people walk in. Yeah, do you have the Wii? I'd be like, do we have the Wii? You've gone for 3 weeks, dude. Like, I would always like.
I want to see a skit about that so badly, where all of us try to come to buy a Wii, and Andy's just a shithead to us.
Marielle, he asked for the Wii. This fucking guy, like, I was always that guy. I was kind of a dick.
I remember, it would have been 2007, right? At IGN on one of the mall trips when the Wii was still impossible to get. And us just happening to be at GameStop, I think trading stuff in or getting whatever, just checking shit out. And I remember it was me, Brudvig, and maybe Clayman. And like, they walked in and they had like three Wiis. And it was like this frantic call back to the office. You have everybody shout, like, does Jeff still need one? I can't remember if Jeff needs one. Because we're all fucking broke. So it wasn't even that we could buy it and like not have it be a huge fucking deal.
So great. What a different time.
Interesting this time around to see what it is like for demand. Obviously, they're going to sell out, but.
Yeah, oh, it's going to be insane. If you follow in the different like more like community based like Reddits and stuff for games and shit, like there are so many people that are pissed that they don't have a pre-order.
Yeah.
So it's I think that they're going to show up in droves.
You think pre-order is going to be like just at all reliable?
You mean I think it'll be mostly reliable. I think a high percentage of people aren't going to get it on launch day. I think it'll be within the first 5 days, probably 3 days. But that I don't think many people are going to get their shit straight canceled.
This is why I love having Tim in my life. If I like, each of you serve a purpose to me, mostly just to keep me alive. Because I think if I didn't have you guys, I would just fall asleep in the corner and no one would check on me, and then I would die. But Tim, knowing the intricacies of how to get a next gen console, is like. You could probably charge for this service and make a lot of money.
Just pay attention and just be ready to click
things.
I don't
like to pay attention, bro.
Like, Tim can be a hotline for old ladies to call in.
It's the amount of friends and extended family who have hit me up and are just like, oh, hey, yeah, like my little brother's talking about this PlayStation 5. Is that easy to get? No.
No.
You totally missed them. It's like anything else. No.
You know, what's interesting to me is like, I've seen so many people kind of like give their thoughts on like, oh man, like Tim pre-ordered like 6 PS5s, like that's fucked up, like it's taking it from people. First off, we got it for our team and for our friends and stuff. Second off, it's not like I did anything like that you couldn't have done. I literally sat on my computer, like I probably spent 6 hours refreshing pages that day to get those. I did that. I put in that work.
You didn't hire
for an extra $300.
What's up?
What? Now you're gonna flip them for an extra $300. Don't lie to me.
No flipping. It's a different time.
Burger King, you and Wait, Cool Greg.
Are we not gonna flip him?
No.
I got the van ready.
Please. I am firmly of the understanding. I don't want to say this because I don't want anybody trying to rip this shit apart as a joke. Like, my firm stance on the idea of flipping these type of things is there is a time and place in your life where I think it is more than acceptable. If that is your way of making money when you don't have other ways of making money, or that's the best way to make money, live your life, put in that time, do that hustle, get that work. There comes a moment where it's like you have a job and you're doing shit where it's like, don't be flipping, don't ruin other people's days, don't be that asshole, you know? I'm lucky that I'm at that point. I shouldn't be flipping. Neither should you, Kevin.
That's a really good perspective.
Kevin, I'm not going to flip. Point. Let's not use the van to flip. Let's use the van to grab. Grabbler. You drive Grabbler. We rented it to flip these.
But I changed my mind.
And now we're in Grabbler and Stogie are out there.
God.
Stogie, what's Kevin's name when he runs with us?
You just say son?
Oh, with Kevin's name? We'll call him Roof Roof.
All right. Grabbler, Stogie, and Roof Roof out there ready to get him. Now, Roof Roof, you only drive the car and you have to dress like a dog. I want one of those. I want you to do that thing where you put a black eye around one of the eyes. Yeah.
Spot on the eye. Yeah.
You got like a onesie. Basically, I want you to look like Rolf. All right.
And every single time we talk, we ask him anything, he just goes Roof Roof.
Yep.
I want this to be one of those like Robin Nightwing situations where he starts as Roof Roof, but then eventually becomes the big dog.
A big dog, yeah, that's fine.
What I'm envisioning immediately is you pulled over, like sitting kind of crisscross applesauce on the ground, handcuffed, like your hands handcuffed behind your back, with just cops out there, and just seeing how this is explained to the cops. Imagine like them talking to Kevin and like Roof Roof, like Kevin, no, you got to talk to him. You can't.
No, we wouldn't. I love this. Where it is, they go down the line. Stogie, Roof Roof, and they turn to me, and I'm like, oh, all roads lead back to the Grabbler, eh? Let me explain to you our merry band of thieves. this is Toby.
They just trip people. You face into the concrete.
They me down. They're tasing. They're wailing on me with the sticks.
God bless. This is how much I. This is how disappointed in myself. I'm like, the big dog is just so much of a better moniker for this supervillain team. But Roof is what came out of my mouth. So now that's
what I like about it. I like about it is that he's Roof, right? The driver, and then it's kind of like the Hulk kind of thing. Where at some point, like you can break pancakes. And you can just be like, is it time to let the big dog loose? I'm like, not yet. Wait for it. And then we're like, go, big dog. And that's when Kevin just unleashes.
I'd like to believe that, just like the Hulk. That
white tank top he's always wearing.
He tears everything off, but he just gets like a little bit bigger. Not like huge, just like a little bit bigger.
Yeah. It's not like he's not. The whole thing about our Merry Band of Thieves here is that we're not superhuman. You know what I mean? Again, we're bad
guys.
Because again, that's the thing. Is that when the cops wail on me and they turn to you guys, tears stream down your face, Kevin's face splattered with my own blood, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And they're like, this is what we did to them, now talk! Kevin just goes roof. They're going to be like, I fucking hate you two, but I respect it. Like, I respect the commitment to this. You know what I mean? Like, fuck, we're going to get it out of you. We're going to fingerprint you. We're gonna find out what's going on. But shit, this, you guys are committed, and I appreciate that.
Absolutely.
That's all I want from the police that bust us, is that they appreciate that we're trying to put on a spectacle for them.
So just
like every other Joe Blow criminal go out there, steal a bag of bread. You know what I mean? But no, we're doing it. We're doing it in costumes. We got names. We got little lights and stuff we're putting up. We rented a van. Like, we're trying.
We have to get a logo together.
Is it true that you all are just reselling PlayStation 5s? No, we're kidnapping people.
Common misconception. We're above flipping now. We don't do that anymore. Yeah. We are kidnapping people.
We're actually selling people. We're human trafficking right now.
We were going to use the van to flip some PS5s behind the Burger King. But our good friend Tim on a podcast talked it out of it. So we are kidnapping.
He said that might be immoral, so we decided to just take people off the streets and sell them.
Dude, I know that this ends with me in jail. Like, I know that somehow this ends like, my good friend Tim, like, we got to get Tim. He must be behind this. And it's just like, cool, we got freaking Stogie the Graveler roof out here. And then all of a sudden, Tim gets his door knocked on, and it's just like the cops are there. And I don't even ask questions. I'm just like, okay, I knew this was coming one day.
I was going to say, Tim opens the door, and it's like the shot of the from over the shoulder of the officer into Tim's house. Like, are you Tim Geddes? And Tim's like, yeah, you see Cool Greg Kool-Aid Man through the wall behind, just gone outside.
Yeah, there was a moment recently with Moose that I think that this is like the moment that Cool Greg and Moose really bonded, where anytime a siren goes by, whether it's an ambulance or a fire truck or a cop, Moose goes fucking crazy, starts howling, starts doing the dumb dog shit, right? And God, he has the most bitch ass howl I've ever heard. It's so sad. It's so pathetic. But he'll do this thing. And when Cool Greg heard it for the first time, my brother got kind of mad at it. He was just like, no, man. It's like, they ain't with us. And I had to tell my brother, no, Moose is trying to make sure you hear it. He wants to make sure that you know that the cops are approaching. So now Cool Greg's like, all right, yeah. Good shit, Moose. Good shit. So it's like, I get it, you know? Just trying to extra warn him.
If I'm writing this,
I appreciate that Moose is friendly, because lately, Barrett and Alyssa's dog, Lulu, she's been snapping at me.
Really?
And I don't know. Like, a lot of mixed messages, Greg. A lot of mixed messages. I kind of feel like I need to plot out this timeline, right? First off, I think she smells moose on me because of the PJs. I think she smells moose on me.
Excuse you?
Moose on me.
Because of the PJs.
Because of the PJs.
Pajamas.
Cool. Just
the joggers.
Just want you to understand how close that sounded to you saying she smells moose on me because of the blowjobs your dog is giving me.
Mm. Oh, no, because of the PJs.
That would be in brackets. That would be in brackets.
That was got it.
BJs, yeah, PJs, pajamas. Or joggers, rather. Every time I walk up to Lulu, she knows me as the belly rub guy. And she'll immediately just do this and like, all right, go at it, dog. Like, even though I'm half asleep, I see you here. Cool, let's do this. And so I always go in for the belly rubs. And then she like started growling while I'm doing the belly rubs.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what are you growling for? And she'll like kind of like snap at me. And I'm like, what the fuck?
what's the disconnect here? Like, you obviously know me as the belly rub guy. You see what I'm doing. You know that I'm rubbing your belly right now. You love this shit. Why are you snapping and growling? And Alyssa said, well, whenever she goes to play with other dogs, she will, like, you know, she growls and snaps at them too, but it's like her, it's how she plays or whatever. But this seems more malicious.
Do you think it
goes deeper?
What's up, Greg?
Do you think it's a race thing?
I hope not. I hope not.
Yeah.
Because it started off very friendly, Greg. This relationship started off very friendly. And she would do the snap. She would do like the biting and stuff when she knows that it's playtime. And I'm always like doing like the, I'd hit her on both sides of the head and she's like going left and right. And that's how we figured out why she's like you. But then the growling stuff, it's like, whoa, where is this coming from, dude? Like, I'm rubbing your belly.
She wants to play.
That, Alyssa says that's what it is, but the growling just seems really like it's so bizarre.
Is it a serious growl though? Because you know, Porty, when he's in the mood, and when he was younger, and you jerk the old toy around there, right? Oh. Like he'll go, yeah,
jerk the toy.
Yeah, but I get it though, because what you're saying, Craig, you're like, that grr is the like, I'm into this and I'm using my teeth. Yeah. But Moose, every once in a while, it's always, I understand what's happening. It's when he is eating. Like if he's near food or if there's something in his mouth that he thinks is food, even if it's not, stupid ass fucking dog. Like if I go after him and put my hands near him, he goes, and it's like, it's really scary. Like the witches. And it's a different type of than the fun.
Yeah. That's what I'm trying to get across here is like, I wish I had a lot of video evidence or something like that, but like
we believe you. It's not like we don't believe you.
I kind of don't. Like, it doesn't. I don't know much about this dog, but it doesn't seem like it. Seems like Andy's in the wrong.
Go get the dog right now.
Yeah, go get the dog. There. Do you have that thing Tim told us to get where you can turn your camera?
Show us our queen.
No, I don't have that. No.
Show us our queen.
I should get that, but the Wi-Fi here, real shit. And also, I'm not even connected here to Wi-Fi. Anyway, but. Yeah, it's bizarre. It's bizarre because her head's laying back. She's just joining it, and then she'll just like, what are you doing that for? And then she'll like, she'll do that shit. Like, what the fuck? What are you doing? And she doesn't like bite me, but it's like, what are you doing?
You have to assert your dominance. You have to hold her down and then tickles. I feel like this is where Kevin should come in and tell us how to train a dog because Cecil apparently can do, like, he's like a bear on roller skates.
Kevin dropped off the widescreen monitor here.
Like the Russian thing. Just playing an accordion. All right.
Yeah. Kevin, how do you train it? How do you train that out of a dog?
How do you train that out of a dog? I don't know. You got to understand what the problem is first. And like, we got to have to observe stuff. Sorry. What did
if I'm hearing this correctly, the problem is that Andy sucks.
Yeah. No, I mean, that's what I'm getting the feeling from. Yeah.
Yeah. It's unfortunate.
Because it's like you had a good.
The thing that annoys me is that she still leans back for belly rubs. This is like, oh fuck yeah, let's get these belly rubs going, dog. Like,
maybe she wants that. When
you start the belly rub, is it possible the rub is too rough? Has she had?
Or
has
not
she
been rough enough?
No, I don't.
Are you saying it's sexual thing?
Recovering from an injury at all or anything?
No, it's the same thing. It's always been the same. I just kind of go like all over her belly, and then I'll like kind of pet her head too.
Are you hitting her nipples a little too hard?
Maybe. Yeah, they might be sensitive.
Yeah.
Does her leg go?
It never has.
You got to find the spot, man.
Yeah, you got to find the spot.
Greg,
what were you saying?
She has been trying
about?
To find Moose's spot for like since we had him, and she never has. I find it almost every night. A couple nights ago, I found it. His little leg's going. Oh, and I called G over, and I transferred and let her keep scratching, and he kept going. She was very excited.
Oh, like it's like, Indiana Jones, like moving the...
Exactly.
Give me the whip. Throw me the idol. You know what I mean?
I've been teaching Cecil to, like, kiss. Like, I'll be like, go kiss mom before we go on a walk. Only so that when I go to Tim's house, I can get him to go kiss Tim. I'm so excited.
How's that make you feel, Tim?
There is nothing worse.
It worked
worse.
The first time. It was so good.
There's nothing worse than Kevin. Just hearing Kevin's guttural yelp of, kissed him, and this giant fucking dog.
60 pounds of dog runs at him. Just runs at him.
It's like Kevin has an extension of his arm now that's a dog, and he can just do with it as he pleases.
That is true.
That's the rough.
Like, essentially, Nick, Kevin has just grown.
Yeah.
By
he's like Tetsuo from Akira. He could just push his arm out and a dog just extends.
Yeah.
And just fucks people up.
Kevin is 60 pounds larger now.
I don't like that. I don't like that very much, Kevin. I don't feel like you deserve this power.
I love it because I know Kevin will first and foremost use it on Tim.
Exactly.
Yeah.
He's going to use it to torture Tim, which is helpful. Yeah,
exactly. See,
this whole crime syndicate right now, I'm going to get arrested because of it, and I'm going to get like tortured by Kevin's dog.
I have a thought on that, though, Tim, because if you keep your hair like that, when they come to the door, you can tell them that you're not Tim. You can tell them that you're Cool Greg, and when they check with your home system, they'll know. They'll be like, oh, hey, this computer doesn't lie.
But they check with the home system. You know, hey, can you get the Google Home for a second to just verify who you are?
Oh, I would. I'd be like, I'm not him. Watch, look, check with my Google Home. It's got facial recognition. Cops don't understand what that means.
It's true. You're at least a decade in front of the cops. They'll never understand.
They're not going to know that. They're not going to know.
Solid point.
Anyway, gentlemen. I could communicate with dogs. Here
we going. I mean, they're communicating with you, but you're not listening.
Yeah, they don't like
that's the real thing, Andy. You know what I mean?
What are they saying?
Don't scratch my belly the way you're scratching my belly. It was fine before, but now something's wrong.
Here's the thing, because there are sometimes I'll back away, because what she would always do is I'd scratch the belly and then I'd back away, and she'd like
she did the bacon paw.
She still does that. Like, she still did that today, and I was like, so you want me to do it? Okay, well, let me. And then after a while, that
are you sure understand. It's not her version, you know what, of a dude, purr?
Bring
you
the dog, man, into your room, put it on the bed right now, and rub its stomach, man.
Women rub the belly,
bro. I just can't read signals from women. I think that's what it is, dude.
Sure. So well, if you're on a date and she starts growling at you, I think that signal means she's insane. Just walk away and don't go back to that date.
Like, at the but if you're rubbing like, her belly and she's her legs start shaking.
If you're rubbing her belly and her legs start shaking, teach me, Obi-Wan, because I want to know how to do that.
Ladies and gentlemen, now a word from our sponsor. This episode of the Kind of Funny podcast is brought to you by Upstart. There's a lot of economic chatter right now about the state of the market. Is it recovering? How long will it take? Have we seen the worst? But if you're struggling to pay off high-interest credit card debt, you can't wait for those answers. You need to take action. Now with Upstart, there's actually something you can do today to help fight off high-interest credit card debt. Upstart is a revolutionary online lending platform that knows you're more than just a credit score. Unlike other lenders, Upstart can reward you based on your job history in the form of a smarter rate. Upstart lets you skip going to the bank because it's completely online. They offer loans from $1,000 to $50,000 so you can consolidate your debt into one easy fixed rate payment. Upstart makes it fast and simple to check your rate. Since it's just a soft pull, it won't affect your credit score. The hard pull happens if you accept your rate and proceed with your application. The best part? If the loan is approved and accepted, most people will get their funds the very next business day. Over 500,000 people have used Upstart to pay off credit cards or meet their financial goals. Free yourself from the burden of high-interest credit card debt and get back to using your money your way with Upstart. Remember, it's a tired story, but when I moved to SF, I took out a loan. It was not with Upstart. They did not reward me on my education or job history, which meant I got a really bad rate. This is a cool thing. See why Upstart has more than 6,000 five-star reviews on Trustpilot, and hurry to upstart.com/kinda to find out how low your Upstart rate can be. Checking your rate takes only a few minutes. That's upstart.com/kinda. Your loan amount will be determined based on your credit, income, and certain other information provided in your loan application. Not all applicants will qualify for the full amount. Our other sponsor, well, it's Guideline. Ladies and gentlemen, if you didn't know, today's episode is sponsored by Guideline. Offering a 401k sends a great message to your employees. It says you have their back. When it comes to choosing a 401k provider for them, which one will have yours? Small businesses have a lot on their to-do list. And let me tell you, that is 100% true, right, Kevin?
Yep, you know it, boss.
And finding an affordable 401k is a tough task. But with Guideline, you can cross it off your list and start saving with ease. Choosing the right retirement plan for your employees can be a complicated decision for busy small business owners. But with Guideline, your 401k plan can be simple and seamless. Think your business is too small to offer a 401k? It is not. 401k plans can, of course, help attract all sorts of stuff. Guideline provides easy and affordable 401k plans for small businesses and startups. Whether you're offering an employee retirement plan for the first time or want to make changes to your current retirement benefits, the design They design a plan that fits your needs. You can set it up in as little as 10 minutes. Guideline handles the admin, compliance testing, record keeping, and investment management. There are no separate setup costs, no added investment fees, and monthly fees start at only $39 plus $8 for each employee. And they integrate with popular payroll providers. Over 13,000 companies use Guideline to manage their 401ks. With a Guideline 401k, you and your employees can save money while saving for retirement. For a limited time, you can go to guideline.com/kindoffunny and tell them you came from Kind of Funny's podcast. That way you'll get a $100 gift card when you start your 401k plan with Guideline. Again, that's guideline.com/kindoffunny to get a 401k for your business. Don't forget, guideline.com/kindoffunny. Tell them the Kind of Funny podcast sent you.
I thought you were going to intro the show because I didn't know we introed the show yet.
Yeah, we did in record time. We did it early this time around.
Oh, record I didn't know we time. Did the around this microphone.
The chat was flipping out. They saw it. They couldn't believe we got through it so quickly. You know what I mean?
Wow.
I'm gonna get a boost on, all right? I feel like my energy's not there.
Boost on the train, bro.
I gotta answer George Fishback's question when I get back, but I won't read it to you guys yet. Until then, Nick.
Yeah.
I want you in 45 seconds
mm-hmm.
to explain Roadhouse to the audience.
Oh my
Go.
God.
Roadhouse.
Wait, hold on, Nick. Why are you doing that? Greg's getting a boost on. Can I get my energy drink? I'll be back in faster than 45 seconds.
Look at his white calves.
He's timing right now. Kevin, can you time me?
Tim, 30, or Nick, 35 seconds.
Roadhouse is the greatest bad movie ever made. Literally during the making of this film, Patrick Swayze, Sam Elliott, everyone involved were like, this is a bad movie, right? And everyone's like, yes. And it turned out to be the greatest action film ever made. Patrick Swayze
20 seconds.
Is Dalton. And Dalton is the world's Tim. He's the world's best bouncer. Literally world renowned for being the best bouncer. When he walks into a random bar in the Midwest, people go, is that Dalton? Holy Everyone knows shit. Who he is. And he takes the double deuce from being this little hole in the wall to being a badass, the best bar on the planet, which pisses off the local villain who
time.
Also wants him to work
time.
For him.
That's time. That Andy, that amazing. Was 30 seconds.
It almost makes me want to like look at the Blu-ray and call the phone number on the back of it.
For Roadhouse?
Remember those days? We were so carefree.
Every day with you, Greg. There's like literally, this is one of my worst fears because you know I don't like pulling pranks on people. My worst fear is that you're going to one day just randomly call a number on the back of an Abisko package and Oreo hates us.
That's your worst fear. Trust me, I'm going to do way worse than that before I run this company into the ground. George Fishback writes into patreon.com/kindoffunny and says, what is your favorite form of potato?
Andy.
He's listed IEs here, of course. I mean, we all understand the question, but to put many things out there, of course, fries, mashed, baked, sweet potato tots, sweet potato fries, etc.
Are we going to Andy first? Because he's not talking yet, so I'm worried that he's still
He's letting the tension build, Nick.
I'm of two minds. I also want the Who Wants to Be a Millionaire music playing here right now for the editor.
Do you want
me
to do that?
Kevin, it can't be any worse than what we're listening to right now.
Why are they both doing it at different?
I don't know.
There we go. I'm of two minds. What is the best potato? Is that a good Regis Philbin?
That's great.
Thank you.
As good as anyone should do a Regis Philbin.
Oh my God. I just tell you, it's hard to believe music peaked that early. Anyways, back to you, Andy.
I think we've talked about this before.
A joke from a different podcast, by the way. Not this podcast.
But I don't know if it was in an official capacity. I think it may have been in
that podcast audience when you decided to apologize for being a stick in the mud yesterday. So they're still here.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
He hated that movie so much.
I would immediately... French fry, I would go with French fry as the top sort of thing. But then do we talk about the minutiae? Do we talk about the best type of French fry?
Yeah, you want to get it? You want crinkle cut? You want shoestring? You want steak fry?
I think curly fry is the best seasoned curly fry. I think really any fry that has a seasoning on it where it's kind of like that darker orange-ish kind of looking color. Curly fry probably my top, but kind of a dark horse, honestly. I love mashed potatoes, obviously.
Of course.
Garlic mash. Oh my God. Mouse watering, just think about it. I love the red potatoes.
With the skin on it.
A little bit of the skin, kind of soft, some salt, some butter. Like, oh my God. Like, I'm just thinking about that right now, how it's usually served with a steak, or it's usually served with some kind of baked breakfast fish. Like right now, Tim is vibing with what I'm saying so hard.
I am.
And I like we're connecting right now. And I think that, like, don't discount those, everybody, because mm-hmm. I might rank those number three. Fries, number one. Number two, mashed potatoes, number three. Those red ones.
See, I feel like we have a Catwoman situation, to once again bring this back to Batman in Review, where I never realized until this moment how much I love so many various types of potatoes, where mm-hmm. everything Andy just said, like getting me going, any form of hash brown, getting me going, tater tots, like there's just so much that I love. But there's the sweet potato, and like that is the Catwoman of this whole situation, where it wow. is so bottom tier that it's like, I just wish that it had a different name so we could just call it something different.
Wow.
Yeah. You don't like sweet potatoes.
So wait, you don't like sweet potato fries?
I know. I'm down. Sweet potato fries, you're good to go. Sweet potato mm-hmm. itself, Thanksgiving style, get fucked.
Oh, like a sweet potato. Like a. Oh, that's so good, though.
I'm putting yams in there too. We're including yams. Just
I mean, that's what I think people normally think of when they think of sweet potatoes. They think of yams, like a yeah. candied yam, which is similar, yeah, I guess.
Didn't we have the discussion that I was very firm in my stance mm-hmm. that I think tater tots are like not good, not yeah, great.
It was the thumbnail a couple of weeks ago, actually.
You're out of control.
Really? Tater tots?
Pretty sure.
We definitely had an argument about tater tots, yes.
Yeah.
And how they were still good.
And honestly, Greg, here's my feelings on it. Yeah. Haven't changed.
You're so brave.
Here's what I'm going to put out there in general. Potatoes in general, overrated. I'm not saying they're bad. I'm not saying they're garbage. I made some last night when I made burgers here. All right? I had some potato wedges. They were delicious, of course. But potatoes in general, just overrated.
You're insane. You're insane, Greg. You can't throw out words like that. You know what overrated means. Right. Nobody's going to the mat for potatoes. Nobody's like shouting from the rooftops the potatoes are the best thing.
Look at how angry Andy Cortez is right now. You're going to tell me he's not mad that I just eat
Tim Hortons? I'm pretty mad right now.
They're rated properly.
No.
Kevin, I'm fucking pissed off about this shit right now. I'll tell you what, dude. Because this reminds me of these two fucking... Am I pointing in the right direction? These two fucking snakes right here.
I mean, you kind of point at everyone then. There you go.
These two fucking snakes over here talking about Tim Getty's up here saying pepperoni pizza overrated. That's the same kind of take as this bullshit right here.
It's not. That makes me mad.
Because
pepperoni pizza is like so extremely highly rated that people would die for that stance. No one's going to die for potatoes.
Oh my God, Tim, here's the thing. I want you to just shut it for 1 second, all right? Because it's a rare occasion where you and I have common ground here, where mm-hmm. I understand your pepperoni pizza argument, and I need you to apply it to French fries. Because I assure you, the comments are losing their minds. It's all these fucking wire arm dorks out there who love McDonald's French fries, but Burger Kings are better. La, 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 la. They love French fries. All right. That's what we're talking about in the same way we're talking about the pepperoni pizza. If you back me on the French fries being overrated, because these people, Tim, they are the best thing in the world. These people would sleep in a bed of French fries. Look at Andy. Greasy old Andy over here. You think he wouldn't cuddle up to a French fry in bed every night? Yeah, he would.
I think it's different though.
As long as it didn't growl.
There's so many different types of fries.
Your argument applied to French fries.
No, it's not though, because I think that like that would be like saying a pizza. I would never say pizza's overrated because it's not. I think when you say French fries, like if you were to give me a specific type of French fry, then I think it'd be a one for one argument. I think that the people that are arguing for French fries are arguing for so many different types of things, whether it's Curly, whether it's McDonald's, whether it's Burger King, whether it's Kringle.
McDonald's French fries are overrated. You'd be like, yes, that's the same argument, just for the argument's sake. Yes. As you saying all pepperoni pizza is overrated.
I think so. Because there's so many different variations of pizza.
Look at who you've chosen to get into bed with, Greg.
It's a rare time when you're looking at me.
You want to come back here? You want to come back here?
Because the way that you compare fries is by comparing the brands for a lot of the part in the way that you don't necessarily have to do for pizzas.
When have you ever walked into a room and seen like, you know,
a basket of fries
that came straight out of the oven?
Oh,
when
hot.
Have you it's ever been like,
insulting.
Fucking lame. You grab those, dude.
You grab them.
Everybody's going to grab a fry.
You grab them.
You grab them, Greg. Do you not?
I think
I'm in the room to eat, right? That's what I've got to do.
I'll tell you this right now. As a person who's done a low-carb diet for most of his adult life and failed miserably at it, I'm telling you right now, the number one reason why I fail at that diet is French fries on the table. I always get the burger, no bun, salad, whatever with it. And then of course, I just hope that one of you guys orders the burger with french fries so that I can just eat all of them off your plate, because if it's on someone else's plate, it doesn't count in your diet.
Do.
Like I right do. Now, right now, Tim, I'm thinking about Burgermeister, rest in peace. Oh, like I would do anything to sit down with my friends at Kinda Funny. You know who else is there? Maybe Cameron Cuff, maybe Rahul Kohli, maybe Alana Pierce, maybe Andrew Renee. It's just a gang group of friends eating burgers, drinking some Coke Zero, eating some fucking fries. Will Ferrell's there too, Greg, okay? And we're all eating fries. We're all loving these fucking fries, dude. Jim Gaffigan's there too, man. Cool. I love him.
I just saw Jim Gaffigan because I watched The Slam and Salmon last night.
Fuck yeah, you did, Nick. Holy
I've
shit.
I've never seen before, but it's on HBO Max, I think. And
no
I'm
spoilers.
Like,
no spoilers. How amazing is the end of that movie?
It's completely ridiculous.
It makes the whole shitty movie worth it. I swear to God.
It's I got a kick out of it. It's not a good movie.
I don't want to watch the movie.
What's that?
Tell me the ending. I don't want to watch the movie.
Tim, tell him the ending.
No spoilers.
No, man. You got to watch it. It's not funny just knowing the ending. You need to watch
the
whole thing.
Fucking ending.
Don't fucking say shit, Kevin.
I mean, the ending is... The whole movie is about is completely ridiculous. The whole movie is about them trying to sell as much money as humanly... Like, make as much money as humanly possible for Michael Clark Duncan, who plays the champ, who is the owner. His last name is... I think it's like... I forget what his first name is. His last name is Salmon. So we started Slam and Salmon.
Oh, so and it's then, sold.
Oh, it's old. I think they did this before or after, right after Super Troopers.
Oh, way after.
Way like after.
Five
okay.
movies after.
Yeah, this is
right
the
now.
Last
Greg
movie.
Is doing on something. Greg get. Is doing on something right now.
I'm reading the Wikipedia final paragraph.
It is.
Oh, Greg.
So the
Greg,
end
you
of
have
it.
No reference for anything.
You're better. Than
I can spoil it. You want me to just tell you the entire plot of the movie right now?
Yeah, you said that. Remember,
Andy? Give me the plot.
I already read it. I get it.
Andy, give me the plot.
I get it. You're enlightened.
Everybody!
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the plot of Slam and Salmon, arguably the worst of the movie from Broken Lizard, guys.
Yeah.
This movie starts off with a completely ridiculous scene we don't even need, where Farva breaks his leg and then decides, I'm not going to quit this job, and then becomes manager and also marries the Slam and Salmon guy's wife, sister, who is in one scene, and that's all. The movie is just a bunch of nonsensical scenes right after the other, but it centers around a group of people who are tasked with selling more than the other person at a restaurant, which vibes with me because they used to do those things when I worked at a restaurant, and I would always be dead last because
I worked at the pet shop, they did the same thing. We had a leaderboard in the back who had sold the most dogs.
They have to make $20,000 because Michael Clark Duncan, who plays the champ, who also beats the shit out of people occasionally because he's kind of a shell-shocked old ex-boxer, he owes money to the Yakuza. And long story short, hilarity ensues. The whole cast of Broken Lizards in it, along with Colby Smulders, who we all love from both How I Met Your Mother and the MCU. She does a great job in it. It ends with them almost hitting the $20,000 mark that they need. But spoilers, they're $1,000 shy. And Michael Clark Duncan, he was like, you didn't get it, so I have to take all of your tips that you guys made tonight. And finally, Farva goes, no, I'm going to stand up to you because everyone's been telling me to, and I got to be a man. Those tips go to the waiters. And then he's like, well, I'm going to punch you real hard like I've been punching everyone. And then because I owe the Yakuza 20,000 yen. And then Colby Smulders, who's the only smart person, goes, wait a minute, you owe them 20,000 yen? And he's like, yeah. She goes, that's $172. And he goes, oh, well, then I guess we're good. And then he beat the shit out of the other guy.
Surprise.
Here's where I regretted not watching the movie. In the last Wikipedia paragraph, this is just one sentence. After bidding Donnie farewell, however, the man gets rammed by a horse to death.
Oh, yeah. That's Will Forte.
Oh, my God. Dude, that's like in a movie.
Yeah, Greg, this is such a you movie where like everything Nick said is so true. It's definitely the worst of the Broken Lizard movies. Like,
I liked it more than the one that were on the island, though. I couldn't get 20 minutes in a Club Dread.
Oh, Nick, give it another shot. It's so bad, but it's hilarious. This movie is just consistently whatever, but they build up enough stupid jokes that all come together in the last like 3 minutes of the movie, and there's payoffs for every single one of them, even things you didn't realize were a joke, and then they just give it all up with the fucking Yakuza and the horse running over someone. It's awesome.
So ridiculous. It's a completely useless and stupid movie, but I did get a couple chuckles out of it, specifically with and I can never say his last name, Jay Chandrahaskar, who directs a lot of the stuff, and he was also he's directed a bunch of episodes like Community and stuff like that too. But his character goes off his meds and because he becomes Nutso Bonkers or whatever the fuck it is, and he has some fucking hilarious moments with that too. It's fun if you want to just laugh. Yeah.
Speaking of Community, I'm pretty much done with season one. Tim, I watched the paintball episode literally that night that you told me about it.
Well, get ready for 10 more.
What an episode. Oh my God. Like I'm just loving this show. But it's also like such a crazy little time capsule where early on, this is like episode two or three in the
Joel McHale still has a faux hawk in it for like most of the show. So that shows you how old that show is.
Well, I mean, he's still got the even thicker fake hair going on now. But the episode ends and they end with daylight. Like, it's just such a time. Like, oh my God, this is so 2008, 2009. Like, what a place in time this show must have been for everybody watching it. But I'm enjoying it.
I wish I was watching along with you because I really enjoyed Community. It gets a little weird, and the characters at a certain point, I think it's season three or four, whatever the Gaslight season is, they become obnoxious. Just get through that because that's where Kevin stopped. And I think he's picked it back up since. But they literally become so much of a caricature of who they were. We're like, right now you're watching, and what Shirley is like kind of religious, but she's like snuck it in there a little bit that she's religious. She becomes a religious zealot. Everything she says is about Jesus in like season three, and they bring it back around though eventually in season four and five. But
I will say that if the self-seriousness that takes place in the paintball episode, and I love when shows do that. I love when show like one of my favorite things ever, episodes ever of anything is like the World of Warcraft episode of South Park, even the zombie episode of South Park.
Zombie one. Which one's that?
Where when you become homeless, you are considered like a
zombie. Oh yeah.
And I'll never forget Randy Stan's dad being on the roof of the school because they're like hiding out from everybody down low, and there's a guy in the group with them, and the guy's on the phone, and he's like, he's like, wait, so our house foreclosed? We don't own our house anymore? And it's like he's turning into a zombie right before their eyes. And he hangs up the phone and Randy's pointing the gun. And he's like, we have to do this. Like,
oh, my God.
Like, I love the self-seriousness that shit like that happens. And Nick, one thing that was really, really kind of memed to hell and it's kind of cringy if you like it is Pickle Rick, which is the Rick and Morty episode. Pickle Rick was off. It's just kind of like when you see a Pickle Rick reference on the internet, it's definitely ironic, and they are not. It's a very tongue in cheek reference. It's kind of like,
okay, it's not like Pepe the Frog or something like that, right?
No, it's like, okay. When people do Pickle Rick memes now, it's very much like, oh, this show sucks, and I'm just kind of making fun of everybody who likes it.
Got it.
But the Pickle Rick episode, like, legitimately really funny, and it's fucking stupid and outrageous in every way, but it's. It's basically like a parody of an action movie, and it has all the cliches, and I really enjoyed it. But Rick and Morty, Nick kind of took that turn with the Szechuan sauce kind of.
They kind of took the fandom and everything to another level that wasn't an attractive one, I think.
Yeah. Are you aware of this, Nick?
I've heard of it
before. But that wasn't their fault, right?
No, it's not the show's fault. It's, you know, there
was the tipping point where it went from like this cult thing to, yeah, it's in Spirit Halloween stores and it's all over Hot Topic and it's everywhere. Like, if you go and watch like the Mr. Meeseeks episode or Mr. Meeseeks, like Meeseeks, is that what it is?
Yeah.
That shit's fucking hilarious.
Yeah, the Szechuan sauce thing became like they started talking about the Mulan Szechuan sauce that was a special thing at McDonald's. For a limited time back in the day when Mulan was in theaters, like in the 90s or whatever. And Rick.
Time out. Was it really? It wasn't the thing that it never really existed. Like they made it up and then McDonald's.
It was real. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And so they're like, we're going to go back in time and get this sauce. And they make it a thing. But then all of the hardcore Rick and Morty fans, which some of them are just really ridiculous and immature, and they were going to stores recording themselves like, give me Szechuan sauce. I'm Rick and Morty. And it became really cringy and like, anybody who likes Rick and Morty sucks. And that's kind of how the internet turned Rick and Morty of like, oh, this is a cult thing that like cool kids love. And it became this is cringy. And if you like it, you're lame.
I think more importantly, like McDonald's was like, okay, we'll bring it back. and they brought it back, and like there were legitimately like not riots, but like people were having recorded things in stores because they made an extremely limited amount, and then insanity ensued.
It kind of sucked because I like Rick and Morty, and it immediately became like, oh, if you like Rick and Morty, you're fucking lame. I was like, I still think the show's funny. I'm just not ridiculous.
I'm still going to watch it. I'm going to give it a shot.
I think you actually, me and you lived this. If I remember correctly, it was definitely at some point we were in L.A. and me and you were in a McDonald's, and there was no Starbucks around us. So we were just trying to get McDonald's iced coffees.
That's right.
And while we were there, it got overran with like prepubescent children that we're all trying to get this Szechuan sauce, and you were like freaking out. We were like, what the fuck is happening? Because like it went from 0 to 60 and it got so loud that like you kind of lost your shit. You're like, we're fucking going, I'm not dealing with this shit. And so we left, and I don't remember how that story ended, but we ended up getting Starbucks being late to whatever we were supposed to do.
Yeah, we were doing Love and Sex stuff. It wasn't that bad.
That's right.
That was the time when me, you, and like Finnegan went down, and Kevin did the audio for it. That was a really fun trip.
I miss trips. Can we all just road?
Yeah, don't you miss trips? I miss trips.
I was, I think I was at a Target the other day, and I was like, man, I really want to do another mall lunch outing with you guys. I miss just screwing off, going to the mall, doing like a Buffalo Wild Wings / let's go walk through Target day. I was at a Best Buy, and I was like, I'd love to go on a Best Buy run with you guys. Just like Tim and I used to do. We're like, we really got to get back to the office, or we can go to Best Buy.
We walk through the DVD section and just comment on the DVDs as if we're on content.
Yeah, dude, that is literally what we do. And there's two ways to look at it. One of them is
practice.
Like, wow, we're assholes, and like we literally everything just has to be content. Or two, us doing content is just who we are.
It's legitimately us just hanging out. That's all we do is like hanging out with each other.
The third way to look at it is it's a live performance. Anyone with an earshot gets to enjoy
our
commentary.
Wow.
Next time around, we should get GoPros and like strap them to our heads and chest.
They sell them at Best Buy. Great.
Should we start giving those people nicknames and commenting on their names and saying we don't like them?
Man, I want.
All right, we don't like the names. We just think some names are hilarious.
Can I pay a compliment to a Best Buy worker?
Yeah.
Sure. So Tim gave me this beautiful Dell monitor that I have in front of me that I'm absolutely in love with. It's like an ultra wide. It's amazing. The clarity of it, Tim. The clarity of it. I feel like I can reach out and touch the mountains in front of me. Yeah. But you were like, hey, you know, you can run this off of HDMI, but if you want to get the full, and then you said a bunch of terms like hertz and stuff. And I was like, I don't know, I'm not listening to you anymore. But you said the full benefit of the monitor, you got to get a DisplayPort. So I was like, oh, I got to get a DisplayPort thing. And so I'm on a Mac, so it's a USB-C to DisplayPort. And I'm like, I'm sure this is a common cable, right? I go to the Best Buy. I look where I normally think the cables are. And I was like, oh, shit, it's not here. Not only that, but like it is there. You know, Andy, it's got so many spots of things that are empty that I'm like, am I going to read these tiny little labels that only children could read because they're so small and you have to get up close?
No, Nick, you don't mind me interjecting, Nick. No, you're not. No. You're a full-blown man, all right? You don't have time for that. That's what kids do, not what Knicks do.
So I go, I was like, you know what? Maybe I'm in the wrong section. Because, you know, for whatever reason, they split the Mac stuff and the PC stuff up. Like, they're not...
Almost like they're different platforms.
Yeah. So I go check that section out, and there's a guy there, right? Stocking stuff. And I always feel bad, Andy, when I ask the dude who's clearly restocking the shelves, because I'm like, you've been tasked to do this. This is like your end-of-day thing. It's similar to how if someone's like, you know, you get sat at someone's table at a restaurant and they thought they were done. It's that kind of vibe. I'm like, I don't want to fuck you over. It's like 5 minutes before closing. So I'm like, I got to ask this guy anyway. So I asked him, I was like, hey, do you have a USB-C to DisplayPort cable? And he goes, yeah. They're totally, they're over there. And he points to the aisle that I was just in. And I'm like,
can you take me?
I hate to be the bearer of bad news here, buddy, but I was just in that aisle and I didn't see it. And he goes, well, you might've missed it. And I was like, oh, I don't think I missed it, man. There's a lot of empty spots there. And he goes, well, let's go take a look. He was very patient with me. We walk all the way over to the thing and he goes, huh? Yeah. They're usually right here. And I'm like, yeah. And I kind of got a little self-righteous with him. Like, you just made me walk 5 feet. Like, what are you going to do for me now? And then he goes like this. And he goes, oh, wait a minute. And he picks up a little adapter and sure as shit, there's one USB-C DisplayPort cord behind it. And he goes, oh, someone must have hit it here for some reason. Like maybe they wanted to come back and get it or something. But here you go. And I was like,
oh, thank you.
It's like magic. I was like, where'd you fucking?
That's like me, the Academy Awards.
Oh my God. It was amazing. I was very thankful to him. I was like, dude, you just saved my ass. And he's like, why? I was like, because otherwise I would have had to get an HDMI cord.
I need to see the megahertz. My friend told me I need the megahertz out of this.
Yeah. So
I need
this thing. God.
Apparently that's what I needed.
It was so funny. But I was like, wow, man, you fucking crushed that. Thank you for that. I appreciate it. Very appreciative.
Yeah. Well, good on that employee. And I'm glad. Did you leave a review though?
No, God, no. It was fucking pandemonium in there, dude. I want it out as soon as humanly possible.
Oh, really? There was a lot of people.
Dude, the Best Buy on Harris Street is packed. It's packed. And it's hard to get in and out of because they're still doing that mobile, like touchless delivery where you can just sit in your car and they'll bring it to you, which no one's taking advantage of, but it takes up all the front parking and it makes everything congested right up the top. So it was pretty crazy. Plus I had already spent, I'll be honest, like a good half hour in there looking at like tabletop tripod stuff. And I was like, I gotta get the fuck out of here, bro. I don't have time for this shit.
I was thinking about like, obviously I miss trips. I miss conventions. And, I think a lot of it is sort of this self-absorbed part of me that wants to meet people that listen to our stuff that are so hardcore and love our stuff that they want to meet us and want to shake our hands and let us know how we benefit their lives and how, you know, it's whenever you go on those trips, you know, you read comments. We have a lot of positive comments. You have a couple negative ones. I feel like we always highlight the negative ones because that's just kind of in my nature, and I try not to do that. But then when you meet people in real life and they look at you and say, dude, I love your stuff. And I feel like that's just like 10 times better than reading a comment on YouTube.
Totally.
And I think that's part of why I also miss these trips. Cause obviously I love going on trips with you guys. And it's like so fun to just do the hotel thing and go out and to eat at night and meet up with friends from wherever that are in town for whatever. Like I just
like Vancouver. That was one
of my favorite parts of this job is just like going to conventions and hanging out with, oh, we haven't seen so-and-so in this long. Let's go hang out with them. And we're going to go get drinks. Like I fucking love that, dude. I love looking forward to the nighttime, you know,
there's just a different vibe to it. Like, and even recently when me and you got to go to NVIDIA and do the 8K experience thing, like that was just so fun. Like it felt like we were doing something that was like, it felt like Christmas, you know. It's like, oh man, we're doing this really cool adventure, even though we just drove an hour. Like it's not like it was that crazy, but we felt like we were having a sleepover where it's like, let's just gossip. Like what do we have to talk about?
That's the thing around this. It's like the downside. Mm-hmm. The downside. It's one of the many downsides, right? But the thing I think that we lost the most in all this is just bullshitting around with each other. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like I only talk to you guys outside of this podcast. Even not, I guess this helps fill it for us. But like outside of this, like I never bullshit around with Baron or even Blessing that much, right? Like we show up to do the shows and talk about work and we do the work and then we vanish to go do whatever, you know, you do when you're not on camera together. Like, at least in the old days, it would be, we'd go torture Joey together and really bond over ruining her day. But
now it's just me. Yeah. I'm so lucky I get to do it. I'm making up for all of it, though, for you guys. Like, don't worry.
You can't.
I don't know, man. You'd be surprised.
You're too nice. You're too blunt.
No, for sure you are not, because Joey has not seen me in 3 months. So there's her stress level. Her blood pressure must be so much lower than it was whenever she had to go to that. Sharing an office space with me and Greg. Oh, my God. Forget about it.
Yeah, if you really want to torture Joey like we do, go scare her right now.
Yeah.
You got enough YouTube delay. You can get up there right now. There's enough delay if you go right now. If you take off your headset and move your two legs up the stairs and you go fucking yell at her, you get her. You sit here and let this thing cook like a hydrogen bomb. No, it's wasted. It's wasted. Yeah, I guess so. Look, she says in the chat right now, I'm doing great. That's how far behind she is. She think we're so positive about it.
First off, Joey's worked with us long enough to know that that positive wave is only going to last so long before it turns to negative. She understands how this group of fucking jackals works.
I'm furious now, but I'm hyped on Busan, so let's do a post show. Ladies and gentlemen, this has been the Kinda Funny Podcast. Each and every week, 4 best friends gather around these microphones, each coming to bullshit around with each other and share that with you. If you like that, head to patreon.com/kindoffunny, where of course you can be part of the show with your topics, you can watch live as we record it, you can get it ad free, and most importantly for right now, you can head there right now and get the post show we're going to continue to do over there. If you have no bucks to toss our way, it's no big deal. Of course you can get the show for free, no post show, chock full of ads, suckers, on youtube.com/kindoffunny, roosterteeth.com, and podcast services around the globe. No matter what, until next time, it's been our pleasure to serve you.